Veterans have helped protect and defend our country. To defend us, all have sacrificed some, but some have sacrificed all. The gratitude owed to veterans is immeasurable. They serve our country honorably, without question, and without asking for anything in return. Join Westchester Talk Radio as we honor our veterans with tales of heroism and sacrifice every second Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. live from Scarsdale Ford on Central Park Avenue in Scarsdale. Why We Stand, a very special program made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, MSM Designs, our hosts Scarsdale Ford, and Shark Creative. And you can always listen on demand at westchestertalkradio.com under the podcast page. You can also find more information about Why We Stand at scarsdaleford.com.
Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. I am Joe Arcino. We are broadcasting live from Scarsdale Ford. We are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Northeast Environmental. It is a beautiful Saturday in July, and I am honored to be joined once again by our good friend Isaac Cortez. Isaac, we had you on a couple months ago. Thrilled to have you back. Thank you for being with us here today, this Saturday.
Thank you for having me here once again.
Now, Isaac, last time we were here, weather was a little bit different circumstance. It was rainy. It was cold. It's a lot nicer to be out here in the nice weather. And as a tennis guy like you are, which we're going to talk about, being out here in this nice weather, it lifts your spirits. It really does.
Absolutely. You called it right on.
All right. Let's get into business now. The first time you came on the show, you were here talking about this wonderful veterans tennis event. Allie Golden, who we've had on the show twice, is wonderful. She helped put it together, and she told us how well it went. But we didn't really get to hear what you thought about it. Take us back a couple months ago to the event. You were so passionate about it. You're such a passionate tennis player. You were able to help introduce to other veterans. What did you think? How did it go for you?
The event went awesome. We had a tremendous turnout, as I expected, and the interaction with the veteran was great. We also had News 12, who also promoted the event as well.
Now, one of the things that Allie told us, which we all just really thought so deeply about, was she was telling us that after the event was over, there were veterans who were staying after and playing because they enjoyed it so much. For someone like you, who has a similar story, you know, you didn't grow up with tennis, but you found it later in life and how it helped you cope with everything. What did it mean to you to be able to see other veterans get introduced to it and see how much they were enjoying it?
Well, the other veterans, we interacted and we shared personal experiences. And one thing they told me was that they felt a calm demeanor where we felt in a safe environment. And that was my intent and that was my goal. I also shared with them what tennis meant to me and what it did for me.
Do you think a lot of them were able to really appreciate, you know, when you were there talking to them, sharing your stories? You know, you think they really understood, you know, how powerful something like that can be to help them?
Well, first and foremost, tennis is a therapeutic tool. If you use it properly, you can see the effects it has on one individual. The problem with the veterans is that they get into this isolation box where they do not trust anyone, and it takes time for them to gravitate out of that box.
And like you said, sometimes it takes time. Keeping yourself busy certainly helps. And I think it's just been wonderful to hear what that tennis event has been able to do. And another, again, Allie Goldman, she's told us twice about how it went and what you guys are putting together next time. Talk to us a little bit about the next event you guys are putting together.
The next event will take place July 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Greenberg Anthony F. Veterans Park. The address is 11 Olympic Lane. That's in Ardsley, New York, 10502. Allison Goldman is handling the logistics, and Janet Lefkowitz at Greenberg is hosting the event in partnership with the Yonkers Tennis Center. The registration will soon be posted on the Yonkers tennis site, including other platforms. The point of contact is Joe Curto at Yonkers Tennis Center. Later on at the show, I will give the number and share any other information pertinent.
That's fantastic. And as soon as we have more... Whoa. Little technical difficulties there, but we are okay and we're still upright. Isaac, you know, as our awesome team helps us out here, we were just talking about giving the details, and you were telling us about how nice that venue is there where you're going to have it. Now, the first event was at the Yonkers Tennis Center, correct?
That's correct.
So this new one, how big of a difference is it playing tennis for you inside and outside? Is there I'm sure you always enjoy the game no matter where you're playing it, but is there a noticeable difference between being able to play inside and outside?
Actually, there's a slight difference. The beauty of playing outside is that you got the sun, you interact with the vets, as opposed to indoors is more of a cohesiveness, a togetherness. But overall, both of them is a wonderful, wonderful experience.
That is just great. And we've always heard you and then Ali talk about how we know on the West Coast especially, they have a lot of these programs. They're able to have them outside and how that's able to work. And it seems here now, it's starting to catch on, certainly. Certainly the work you guys are doing is getting tennis introduced to a lot of people, and it's really helping. And then, obviously, we don't have the kind of weather that they have out there on the West Coast, but we make it work with the resources that we have. Isaac, if you were going to tell another veteran who has never played or never really been introduced to tennis before, what would you tell them to give them to urge them to give it a try and just to give a chance?
I say experience it for yourself, because tennis can help you offset your combat stress, your anxiety, your intrusive thoughts. It also gives you an avenue where you can unleash any stress that you incur. It happened to me, and that's why I'm an advocate promoter of the game today.
Now, Isaac, we've talked a lot about your passion for tennis. We've introduced, obviously, last week we talked about your service, how you're a tri-veteran. But one of the things we didn't really talk about last time was how your passion with music as well. Talk to us a little bit about that, you know, what you do in the music world and how that passion works as well.
Well, I call it the key and lock mechanism. Tennis is the key, and music is the lock. One soothes, one calms me down. So during my regimen, I incorporate playing tennis to unleash any anxiety that transpires. And then at the end of the day, to calm myself down, I get on the keyboards and I just bang the keys away. So that's my remedy, and that's my approach and treatment. But my primary is the tennis. Tennis is the key.
But it's great that you have both those options available to you. And I love the analogy you used before, you know, and I think it's so powerful. Has music always, you know, been something important to you? You know, did you grow up being very, very musically inclined?
I played when I was 12, but as you, I gravitated towards the medical field, but I never gave up on the music, the hobby, the intent. And then when I was introduced to tennis, it took the upper seat over music. So
that is great. As we wrap it up, give us some of those details again, the contact information, because we've had Ali on before. Hopefully we can get all you guys on here again before the next event comes on, but give it to everyone just in case so they can, I'm sure people want to jot it down.
Okay, I'm looking for a good turnout, and I'm reaching out to all the veterans in Westchester and the tri-state area that to please give this a try to see if this is your niche. The next event is July 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Greenberg, Anthony F. Veterans Park, 11 Olympic Lane, Arsley, New York, 10502. The point of contact is Joe Curto. He's the Yonkers Tennis Center Director. His number is 914-968-6915. And the person that's hosting the event is Janet Lefkowitz at the Greenberg Court Center.
Isaac, you've done well. You know, we get the truck going by, so we've done pretty well. We've survived the sign. We've got some traffic, but we're okay. We're hanging in there. Isaac, how often a week do you play tennis a week?
Tennis, I try to play at least 3 days a week. And the music, I play twice a week. I also attend the Conservatory School of Music as well. So I stay pretty busy with tennis and music.
It really is. You know, we were talking before, you know, about how that's important, you know, just keeping busy sometimes, and especially when you surround yourself with the things you're most passionate about. I'm sure that's a very good formula for things. And Isaac, it was just so good to have you back on the show with us. You have so much to share. You were enlightening us all before, teaching us about whether it was traveling or whether it was about tennis or music. You're a wealth of information. You're always welcome on the show. We're always so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me. In closing, I just want to send a shout out to all those veterans that are suffering with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, to try this therapy. Try it to see if this is your pet peeve. It sure is mine. Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Isaac, it is my honor and our pleasure. You're going to be on again for sure. We wish you the best of luck with this event. We're going to certainly give people shout-outs, so whoever's listening, don't worry. We're going to provide you with the details as we get closer to it as well. That is Isaac Cortez. I'm Joe Arcino. Everyone, thank you so much. You are just listening to an incredible man, and we're excited, as always, when we're able to bring him on with us. But I'm Joe Arcino. You're listening to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are here at Scarsdale Ford. It is a beautiful day. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from Scarsdale Ford on this beautiful Saturday morning. I am Joe Arcino, and we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Warburg, Reverso Associates, Facelift Painting, and the White Plains YMCA. It is an honor to be joined once again by our good friend Ronnie Imbros, and he's got his son with him today, Matt Imbros, too. Ronnie, we had you on with us in January, so it's been a little bit of a while, but we really wanted to get you back on the show. Really glad you've got your son here with us, but thank you for being here with us again today.
No problem. Thank you very much. It's been a busy spring and early summer, and so we're ready to go again.
You are not kidding. You are always on the move. For people who don't follow you on Facebook, you're missing out because you are always traveling, always promoting your wonderful book, Fallen Never Forgotten, Vietnam Memorials in the USA. And it's funny because last time we were talking, I asked you about what it was like to put together the book with your son. We've got your son here with us now. So, of course, I want to certainly get your take on it. First of all, for people who we've really talked a lot about this book, what was it like for you to work with your dad putting it together?
It was great. It was a great experience. You know, we talked about it for many years, and then, you know, we worked really hard on it, took some sacrifice and a lot of time and planning to get together, and, you know, it really worked out in the end, and it's become a big part of our lives, obviously, and really rewarding one, and, you know, it's opening a lot of doors for him to speak and find people that he should be connecting with in the first place, and it's been a great experience, in my opinion.
Well, you guys really do touch a lot of people. I mean, you really have a nice audience. And my favorite thing is all the Facebook pages that you run. You've got Vietnam Veterans Photo Club. You name it, you've got so many of them. But if you follow it, you see how much people are able to share and interact. And you and I, the three of us were just talking off the air about how people are able to find other comrades they served with. Ronnie, what's it like for you to be able to share all these experiences and have this community where fellow veterans are able to interact with each other?
Well, again, it's all about healing. The guys who suffer physically through the war as well as mentally, and they came home to a nation that wasn't grateful. The soldiers and sailors and Marines, they were only doing their job. And now, with the help of this Facebook pages that we do have, and the book that we wrote, and the places we go and the presentations we make, it just brings a lot of people together, especially on the Facebook page, where people will just put in, I'm not a Marine, so I'll just say this out there. I was with the 1st or the 25th Marines, in the 3rd Division, whatever that means, and in 1967 and 68 in Da Nang, and then somebody will write in and connect with that person, and that's a totally amazing thing to me, and they hook back up after sometimes 50 years they haven't seen some of their buddies.
That's just absolutely incredible. And Matt, for you, obviously I'm sure you grew up hearing your dad's stories about his service and everything, but what's it like for you looking and seeing all these different people being able to share photos, share stories, share experiences? You worked on the book, so you obviously have a deep understanding about what these memorials mean and how much it means to these other veterans. What's it like for you to be able to see this interaction?
Yeah, we love to facilitate this because, you know, it's a great interaction and outlet that these guys really didn't have before. And, you know, the technology, what it is today is just, it's incredible that these guys can link up after 50 years. Like he said, someone says, hey, does anybody know, you know, Joey Williams from this unit and that? And like four or five guys say, oh, I knew him too. And then sometimes the guy actually ends up being part of the group as well. We run that. He runs the photo group mostly. I run all the other pages. We have about 11 pages, one for each branch. Different ones for things like military aviation, things that these guys are interested in. So we kind of get a lot of info and put it all in one place for them to find and make it an easy resource for anyone that's trying to look into it and raise awareness for these things in general.
I just think it's just so awesome. Let's get back to the book a little bit now. Fallen, Never Forgotten, Vietnam Memorials in the USA. All the pictures in this book are just absolutely phenomenal. The text to it, too, is so well. Ron, you were telling me, you know, you did a lot of the research in the book and everything like that. When you talk with other people about it, do you think they really have a deep appreciation for the work you put into it?
Oh, absolutely. People, you know, Matt did a great job just with the layout and the photographs that he chose. We had about 200 memorials to choose from. So we had to pick some for different reasons, and we did. And I really got no negative feedback. But we do have people at some newer memorials that have been put up, and they're sort of like promoting their hometown memorial or their state memorial for the next edition. So hopefully that'll come to pass, but we'll ship some out and put some new ones in.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to the next edition. Matt, let's talk to you again. You put the layout together. Did you have a background in publishing, or is this the first time you really did anything like this? You know, what was it like to go into this?
My mother was actually in publishing for a while. I didn't really pay that much attention, but I was around it a lot growing up and seeing her doing, like, the old school stuff with, like, tape and, you know, sectioning off things and big cameras and dark rooms and stuff. I was in charge of gathering the photos from the photographers. Some of them, it was really frustrating. You know, you would talk to a guy and he would say he would deliver in about, you know, a week or two, and then he would fall off the face of the planet, and then you got to call six other people, and then we, you know, paying a boatload of money for some photos because we needed to hit deadlines to try to get it out by a certain time. But it's all rewarding because, you know, each and every year that we go down to the wall, we notice the numbers dwindling. A lot of the guys that can't make it out to the wall and to the memorials in their state due to, you know, time, money. A lot of guys have health problems now and anything, financial reasons. So we bring the memorials to them through these. We chose 50 memorials and, you know, it really just brings it to them. It's a good gift for guys in like a hospital or you know, American Legion Post, a library, where everyone could get, you know, bring the more memorials to them and raise the awareness of these things, because there's not many other outlets that are doing so.
You are absolutely correct, and I think, it's even more impressive that really that was the first project like that that you took on, because it turned out absolutely beautifully. I mean, it really is a book that, you know, you could just sit down and enjoy. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you guys on now is it's summertime, people are looking for summer reading. This is as good as it gets. I mean, this is something you could just sit down and enjoy and it just hold in your hands. Ronnie, let's go back to you now. I want you to talk about this, because I think there's still a lot of younger generation now who don't understand the Vietnam War. What do you think the younger generation today needs to understand about the people like you who served and did their duty and answered the call during that tough time in our country's history?
Yeah, well, thankfully, the nation came around, especially with the Iraq War, and then the sad note about 9/11, and now the continuing war in Afghanistan and Syria and whatnot. So the public, I think, just has turned a lot all the way around, I believe, in honoring the Vietnam vets. And, you know, you walk around with a hat or something on a pin on, people are saying, you know, thank you for your service, or this or that or the other thing, at least that. And yet a lot of guys are still bitter about that. But, you know, I just think the country has gone full circle, because like I mentioned before, we came home to nothing. We came home to some disdain, some anger, and against us. But today, the other troops that I mentioned earlier, they came home to parades and ceremonies and getting off a plane at a hangar and their families and having these big reunions and whatnot. And that's great. You know, our guys are a little bit still upset about it, but we can handle it. You know, we fought our war, and that's why we have the Facebook pages, that we want to use that for healing. And we don't like any much controversy as we can in those things, in political or whatever, to get involved. And but before the war, let's try to get together and keep it together in a different way now.
Very well said. And you guys are as tough as it comes. And I'm glad now that we're able to give you guys the proper appreciation that you deserve. Matt, back to you now. You guys are always on the road. You guys are always going somewhere. You guys are just really always keeping busy. What's it like to always be doing these things? I mean, I saw you guys were just at the wall. You guys were filming some great stuff there. It's got to be really amazing for you, right, to be able to travel and do all these things with your dad.
It is, you know, seeing different parts of the country that I never expected to see, as well as, you know, doing this with my father and meeting new people and people that really appreciate the book and the positive feedback we get. All in all, and you know, visiting the sites is also just a great thing. You know, a lot of people don't have the opportunity to do this, and that's why this book has been so great, doing this on all levels for us. Because, you know, it's not just a passion project, it's not him linking with veterans, but we also get to see things, meet people, and try to make a difference. And, you know, he's always talking to people on the phone, trying to promote the healing process any way we can. And, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Everybody has a story to share, and Ronnie, what you wanted to say?
Yeah, the purpose of the book, like Matt said, there were several purposes. One, the main reason was the friendly fire incident that my unit was involved in 1968, with 13 members of B Company, 1st and the 502nd Infantry, 101st Airborne Division, were killed by our own mortar rounds, and 22 of us were wounded. So I made myself a promise to, you know, somehow get back in touch with the families and friends of these guys. And 50 years went by. But then the book came out, and we put the book together and it came out, and I feel that I don't think they'll be upset at me for being 50 years late because of what happened. And the other thing is that 10% of the veterans, 10% of the pictures in the book that you mentioned were donated by veterans around the country. So I think six states were donated, and the other ones we had professional photographers take. And we went to seven individual memorials. So it's a day-to-day thing. You know, I have a little PTSD, and I've been told that being involved in it so much helps me with that, because it's not like a distant thing where I'm having a problem with it. I'm finding joy and satisfaction and relief about a lot of different things, especially when you can help a guy find his buddy. A friend of mine from Connecticut, John Rowe from Norwalk, he had a friend of his fall off the face of the earth about a month ago. He was in touch with him all the time, this, that, the other thing. And then he put a message on Facebook and in our Facebook page, Vietnam Veterans. And then this last week, about 4 days ago, actually, they reunited. He was okay. He was going to a different VA hospital out there in Arizona. And there you go. It was a perfect, simple example of how this works.
That's absolutely phenomenal. And like you said, it's about healing. It's about helping other people find. And I think it's so powerful. Matt, where can people find this again? Where are your Facebook pages? Where can they go? Because people are not going to want to miss out. We have a lot of new viewers since we talked to you guys last time. So definitely want to give them the hookup so they can find it.
Okay, so what we created is the Fallen Never Forgotten Network. And what that is a network of sites where guys could find videos about any branch, any, you know, from all eras. So we got, if you want to go down the whole list, the big one is the Vietnam Veteran Photo Club. We have about 70,000 members in there, active members. They're always posting their original photos and information. As he said, we try to keep it as non-political as possible because a lot of guys get discouraged and leave the group when they get into arguments and stuff. And it's not that no one's there for that, you know. So besides that, we have RUAirborne.com, which is the first one we did. He's a paratrooper, so we made that. We have a lot of airborne videos, guys jumping at perfectly good airplanes. We got the USArmyVideos.com, USNavyVideos.com, VietnamWarMusic.com, USAirForceVideos.com, USMarines.net, VietnamWarVideos.net, VeteransStory.com, MilitaryAviation.net, and I think that's about all of them. I'm not sure if they're all on here.
You got, well, people have a lot of options
yes.
that they could choose
well,
from,
I mean,
right?
Well, I mean, anywhere you served, we got something for you.
That's,
so
I think it's
phenomenal. It's all free, and you get to just browse through usually by year or by branch, and you can find exactly what you want. We have videos from training, videos from boot camp on Paris Island in 1968 to stuff from nowadays, and the paratroopers jumping into Normandy and everything. Depends, you know, wherever you want to go. You might have to rewind that a few times and make the list.
I think it's just so cool. I mean, you guys really are have put together something really special. And then the book, of course. To get the book, you could get it at fallenneverforgotten.com. You guys are just the best. I'm really glad we were able to get you guys in. Ron, I know you wanted to add one more thing.
I just today thought about, I think, every village, town, city in America should have a Vietnam memorial. I don't care how big it is or what it is. It could be a mini wall. It could be a Gold Star parent monument or a war dog monument. And two, came up with the idea of on Red Shirt Friday, RED, meaning Remember Everyone Deployed, that my business now has people wearing red shirts on Friday that says the Ronnie Reliable's cleaning company on it, but then it says, we remember everyone deployed. So I ask other business owners out there to on Friday buy your workers some t-shirts if you're going out there into the public or in the office or in the wherever it is, a storefront, and get some red t-shirts on Friday and RED, remember everyone employed. Deployed, I'm sorry, not employed.
Don't worry, remember everyone deployed or the red. I think people who listen are very well familiar with it. And again, I think people are going to take it to heart. Before we end, though, I do want to people can obviously get your book, which hopefully they will. But also, if you're in Westchester, where can people go to find a Vietnam veteran? We know where would one you would direct a lot of people to here want to go pay their respects to a Vietnam memorial locally?
Well, Katona, well, this weekend, the traveling wall is actually in Elmsford. I'm not sure if everyone knows about that.
Yeah,
we just came directly from there to here. It's a 4/5 scale replica of the wall. It's called the American Veterans Traveling Tribute. It's actually the one, there's three different mobile walls, and that's actually the one we covered in the book. So it's nice to talk with him, and he just came from Illinois. He's going to Indiana next week. He stays on the road, and he's doing a great thing. And we also have a children's book we're putting together that's going to instill values and virtues. We're hoping to have that out before Veterans Day, November, maybe a month or so before that. And this guy's full of ideas. So we're going to keep them coming.
You guys are always on the move and doing something. We would love to have you back on before that so that we can talk more about that book, because we've given a lot of attention. Fallen Never Forgotten, but you've got a lot more things coming this way. Guys, thank you so much for taking some time today. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Everyone, I'm Joe Arcino. You're listening to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere, or we will be right back.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Joe Arcino, and we are broadcasting live from Scarsdale Ford. We are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Durante Rentals, Genesis Exhibits, J.P. McHale Pest Management, Michael Labriola, Inc., and Salem Golf Club. It is my great pleasure to once again introduce our good friend Janice Prasad, who's joining us again with his son, which is a first, which I think is pretty cool. We just had Ronnie Ambrose and his son. Now we've got your son. So, Janice, first of all, thank you for being on here with the show with us again.
Thanks, lad. It's great to be here, and great to have something to talk about based on the last interview that we had here. Thank you for spurring that idea.
Thank you. I mean, we're here for you. You know, that's what we always say. We're here to talk to you so you can share whatever you want to. But first of all, I'm really happy to have your son here, too. Introduce your son. Tell us a little bit about him.
This is my 16-year-old son, Jalen Sebastian Prasad. He's just the most amazing kid. I worked very hard to have him in my life and maintain a perspective in his world. And last year, I was blessed on Father's Day to have custody of him. And it's probably been the best year of my life after the Marine Corps. And I'd like to give honor to him and say thank you for everything you've brought into my world thus far.
Jalen, thank you for being here with us. Your dad's very proud of you, obviously. You guys have got some big things, so don't go anywhere. We definitely want to get your take on things. But, Janice, before we get into a little bit later the plans you have coming up, we talked about last time how you kind of talked about what it was like being in the Marines, but you kind of reflected and you thought a little bit about what more you would want to say when you came back. So why don't you give it to us?
Why I joined the Marine Corps, I gave you the bulk of what it was. I was born to be a Marine, but I kind of dissected that and broke it down after the interview, and over the last couple months I came up with exactly why I joined the Marines. I came from a dysfunctional family, an immigrant family. It was rough growing up, the one-bedroom apartment in the Bronx, moving up in the world to Yonkers, a little better society for us as kids, but our parents, they kind of forgot to be parents and just kept on growing with society and just left us to do things on our own. We kind of discovered life on our own, and we matured very fast, my sister and I. We were very accelerated in school, so we had a really good academic road. My sister was pretty much the silver spoon child, so all the focus on front running was gone to her. She went to school, became a pharmacist, and I basically was raised by my society, my streets, my community. I played a lot of sports in the inner city growing up, basketball, baseball, and football, so I became a team-spirited person, and I just excelled to be the best. But what really made me join the Marines is actually trauma. When I was very young, probably between the fifth and sixth grade summer, there was a unfortunate chain of events that happened, and my sister was raped, and I was kind of the one who brought the condom to the person who raped my sister. So after years of internalizing and realizing that the reason I joined the Marine Corps and it was a green light to learn how to kill somebody was how I would take it out and not hurt anybody and do it for a good cause. It got me pretty much advanced in the Marine Corps because of this noble spirit I had to take on the onus of punishment and pain to enact some sort of justice. And it really leads me to where I'm at now. I never lost that drive. I still am a Marine at heart, and I'm still saluting everything that's honorable and diligent in this world. And it leads me to the point where I'm at now. I can't move forward being the best version of myself for me and to show my son if I continue the pattern of internalizing and covering up these dark secrets that fueled me to join the gun club as the Marine Corps, and for such a tragedy to want to enact justice for an injustice would fuel me to become one of the best Marines stationed at Marine Corps headquarters, training infantry officers on the rigors of combat in desert, urban, and all sorts of war combat climates. I'm at the point now where I put things together in my life, service dog training, peer facilitators, counseling, sobriety, 4 years of sobriety, and just a whole complete turnaround. I've been practicing yoga for about 10 years. And I actually teach yoga. My son teaches his friends yoga and meditation. And it's just a point in my life where I've turned that drive into something more of a positive influence and reflection that I can say, this is what you can turn negativity and feed positivity moving forward. And I can't fuel my son with any of the negativity, being that he was in a dysfunctional situation while he was with his mother, so I can't put forth any more dysfunction into his world. It's only going to be bright and shining futures in my perspective. With now, football is his dream and desire, and I've also adopted yoga and golf into his world, and he loves both, and we're going to take it to the moon and take it all from there.
Well, look, there's anything I remember from our conversation last time, it's, you know, how glad we are that you were able to find those things and turn so much around. And everything you're doing to help other people, it's just phenomenal. And we thank you for being able to do that. And we're always here for you to help you out in any way that we can. But, Jalen, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, you help teach yoga to other people, and now you teach it to your friends. Obviously, football is a big thing that you do. What's it like teaching your friends yoga? I can't do it. I'll be honest. I can't. I've tried. I can't do it.
It's a difficult thing to teach, but once you get it right, it's like a balance and flow that you get with the people around you, and it really brought me closer to them. And I feel like more than just a spiritual connection whenever we do practice together, especially when I'm with my father. It's an untouchable experience.
That's really cool. It goes beyond, you know, just helping in terms of playing an athletic sport type of thing, right? It's more of a, would you say more of a mental therapeutic thing?
Definitely more of a mental therapy. It clears your mind. It's a great way to relieve any stress and things that could be on your mind, and, you know, really clear the air and get you back at an equilibrium, a stable point.
I think that's very interesting. And one of our guests today has suffered from PTSD, and one of the healing things he found was tennis. Now, he'd never played tennis before growing up, but he found it later in life. And when he did find it, it was that healing thing for him. Anytime he's on the tennis court, anytime he's feeling like he's struggling, he'll go out and he'll play, and that's the thing that helps him come back. And I think for anyone, it could be a different type of thing. You know, what would you recommend to other people who are struggling? You know, how do they find that? I think that's the hard thing, is once you find it, it can change your life, but finding it sometimes is the difficult thing, right?
All right, I'm going to draw a connection to something that is on the soulmate level. They say when you find a soulmate, you don't feel anything but normal. But when you find the thing that intrigues you, it gives you all these bells, whistles, butterflies, that's the most likely thing that's bad for you, because it's causing all these reactions to go on in your body that's not normal. So when you find something that just completely doesn't interest you and you think that you won't like it, give that a try. Because I picked up yoga and I picked up golf, and I refuse to stop my yoga and I refuse to stop my golf, because those are the two things that I would never think, from an inner city kid growing up on the south side of Yonkers, inner city sports, just completely turn around to golf and yoga and spreading that word from the Marine to the golfer. I don't know, man. It's a complete 360 for me.
That's just phenomenal. And I think it's like, now that I've heard the tennis story, it makes perfect sense, right? Sometimes you just never know. You get introduced to something and you just never know what impact it's going to make. What's it like, though, to be able to do with your son, to be able to share yoga? And he spoke so eloquently about how meaningful it is. What's it like to be able to share yoga and golf with him?
I have a hard time with communication, so when I find something I love doing, it just comes out naturally. The yoga, it's almost silent at the time, except for when I have to guide him to do a position more correct. And it's teaching in the most gentlest form, because I'm teaching him how to teach himself. Therefore, he can teach in future and pay it forward. The same thing with the golf. I just have to open the door, and he sees that one good shot out of the 18 holes he plays, and that's the one you go to sleep with. It gives you the real good dreams that makes you want to go out there again. And it creates good sportsmanship, great teamwork, and great positive, broad awareness and mindfulness of the world, especially when you're out there in nature. You're doing all these things, connecting and in tune with different energies that's not the common society, put on the radio and hear whatever they're feeding you stuff, you know?
It's a great way to look at things. And Jalen, you're ahead of where a lot of 16-year-olds are. You're getting a lot of great advice. You're learning a lot of things that kids your age might not know. What is it you really want to do? You know, you're still young. You got a lot of time to figure it out. But is there something, though, you're really passionate, something you really want to do?
Football is definitely my number one passion. I really feel like if I can take that all the way, then that's definitely what I'm going to do. But I have another fallback option. I'm going to college no matter what. That's my biggest thing. I have to go to college, and then I want to study psychology, because he influenced me to, with his PTSD story, he started helping me learn about it, and it encouraged me to want to know more about how the mind works and how I can help other people like him and like me that have been through things, so I can help keep them from doing harmful things to themselves, because people commit suicide, people harm themselves, and that's something that I just want to try to prevent. And that's one of my biggest things that I want to do, is definitely help other people out.
Well, look, you have a bright, bright future ahead of you. You speak very well for yourself. I just know you're going to do some special things in this world. And you're dealing, you know, you hit the nail on the head. These issues are very complicated. There's a lot of adults who don't fully understand PTSD and everything that it involves. So I applaud you and I commend you, and I know you're going to do some great things. Janice, let's shift back to you for a minute, because I know you must be so proud of everything that your son does. I mean, it's what a remarkable young man you have here. You have some big things ahead that you really wanted to come in and talk about, involving a book. You've got a lot of things to share. Tell us a little bit about when you started to think about, you know, I might be able to put a story together here. When did really those ideas start to pop up?
It actually came up about 10 years after I got out of the military, because that was the lifespan of the security clearance that I had, and also my son's mother's security clearance. There was a lot of things that went on in the marriage as a result of the undiagnosed PTSD at the time, and when I finally got that awareness that I was suffering, my first inkling was to see all the people that I've touched and I've affected with my PTSD. His mom would be the first person I would reach out to, and after a couple failed relationships, I realized working on myself would be the most important thing, so I can give back to the one important thing in my life, would be my son. after achieving my son, getting custody of him, I realized through other failed relationships that the only other person I want to heal that would affect our future would be my son's mother. So I can use the counseling and things that I've gained over the years and the benefits through the retirement that I get to assist somebody, and I would help his mother out because she suffers just as much as I suffer from being active duty Marine at wartime under the capacity that she served working for the president. So I want to put together basically some guidelines that military and military couples can look on and see that they're not alone, because it takes a different kind of character to be married in the military, and then to be married to another person in the military at that. That's just a lot of dynamics and a lot of working around that you have to do. So the title of my book would be Rock Bottom Trapdoor. It's a survival guide on basically how to survive, knowing that the military is your option and this is your path towards success and running away at the same time. You know, it says on the inside cover, I put something like, you can't escape bondage, but a SEER Marine can survive and thrive. I'm a SEER Marine. Survival, evasion, resistance, and escape is my counterintelligence training that kind of set the basis for all my knowledge of the inner workings of torture, anti-terrorism, and interrogation and resistance and escape aspects of prisoner of war personnel. So using the survival tactics gained from the prisoner of war training, I believe I have a good helping hand to give someone to survive in the rigors of environments like the military, especially the Marine Corps and their combat situations and traumatic life, because if you're in that situation, probably you've been through trauma and you're running away from something. So knowing that, 70% of the military joins to run away from something, I'd like to be of assistance to tell my runaway story and give back and pay forward to those looking for an answer, because they don't even know they have a question yet.
You certainly have a lot to share, and I'm really excited to see how your work turns out. Have you started putting pen down to paper yet, or have you put a lot of the ideas, or just still flowing?
I've been journaling since I was 15, and there's a lot of ripped pages of my journals, but I've got volumes and volumes of things I've written down. A lot of things turned into poetry, just a lot of notes in my life that, you know, I've got a bunch of tattoos that select different chapters of my life, and these are different foundations that I'm using for the chapters that I want to share. There's no organization, it's just, so far I've got 15 thoughts and segments that I've put down, and it's a lot of finding joy instead of worry, you know, different tools and resources that I've picked up along the way. Things like there's a question behind a question, so identify what people are really asking you. Just different things to get your shoe in to realize that there's more behind communication and open communication that is required to getting your story out and having great relationships with people that I'm just discovering right now.
I think it's phenomenal. You know, a lot of times in life, sometimes we always have this idea for a book, but I can't tell you how many times I heard people say, yeah, I had this idea, but you know, I wish I would have done it. You're going to do it, and I think that's great. I think whenever we have an idea, go for it, because what's the worst that can happen? You know, you got to go for it, and I think that's great. Jalen, you ready to help Dad put this book together?
Oh, absolutely. He reads it to me every once in a while, and I'm amazed at such a big step that he's taken in his life, especially being so vulnerable, putting all of his personal information into this book. I think he's just a superstar for it. He's definitely my idol, and I can't stress enough how much this makes me feel that he's actually doing something really big.
I think that it's I know certainly everyone here listening is going to be very excited to see and support your book. And obviously, as you get closer and each step you take, you come on here, the two of you, and you give us an update on how it's going. We'd love to be filled in about it. Before we end, I obviously want to ask, you guys got any cool plans this summer? What are you guys doing?
We just came back from Bermuda.
Hey, nice.
I guess I called it the Beach Boys summer. We 2 months ago, we went to Florida Keys, but it was just torn up from all the hurricanes that hit. And we went to Bermuda, so we're kind of doing the Bermuda Triangle thing and the Beach Boys, Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. And we did 4 beaches in 3 days, snorkeled 3 times, and I cliff dived a couple times, and it was just the most phenomenal thing that I can share with them. Cruise, Bermuda, Key West. We go on vacation about every 2 or 3 months, and we're looking forward to seeing what next month brings us.
Nice. Jalen, sounds like you've had a kind of good time on the beach recently, huh?
Absolutely. The waters are amazing, and it's just so blue and clear when you're in Bermuda. It's a real amazing experience, and it's not even the place that we go. It's the trip that takes us there, and I can't imagine being on the trip with anybody else.
You guys are just absolutely phenomenal. It was an absolute pleasure to have you back, Janice, and then of course you too, Jalen. Next time you guys got it, you're a package now. You know, each now you guys can't come separately. It's a package now from now on. Right. You guys are just absolutely great. You both speak so well. You both are doing so much to help other people. I can't thank you enough for both of you taking some time and talking with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for having us. It's a blessing.
You got it. You've listened to Janice. You listened to Jalen. Everyone, this is Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Joe Arcino. You're going to hear from these guys again. I am sure of it. But until the next time, everyone, Joe Arcino, don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from Scarsdale Ford. I'm Joe Arcino, and we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Northeast Environmental. Rounding things off today, we have Ken Kratzer. Ken, I know you very well from our time at Iona. You were always there covering Iona basketball. You were involved with a lot of things covering veteran things. You're part of the Sons of the American Legion radio. So first of all, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, good to be out here with you. You're doing a lot of good work at doing this weekly radio, talking about the veterans community, key issues, and very important work.
It is, and you know it very well from your time. I mean, you are a busy guy, Ken. If people don't follow you, I highly recommend it. You can follow them on Twitter. You're all over the place, but you're constantly on the move. Whether you're at West Point, you're at the White House, you name it. What's it like being able to cover all these events, seeing our military, seeing all these very important, prominent people? What's that work like for you?
Well, it's just a joy because we meet so many amazing people along the way, veterans, people in the active military. We're very fortunate. We have a relationship with West Point, and we've been covering West Point football and West Point events for 8 or 9 years now, and they had a great season. We were just at a graduation for them, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Joe Dunford, was the speaker. We had a chance to say hello to him after, and we saw General Mark Milley, Chief of Staff of the Army, and as well as all of the wonderful cadets. They're all experts in something. You know, we had a chance to talk with Denise Askew, who was the first captain and a Rhodes Scholar. And we were talking about the day she led the Corps of Cadets onto the field in Philadelphia and for the Army-Navy game this year in the snow. And what a thrill that was for her. And she said, well, it was also her 21st birthday.
Wow.
So a lot of good events that we're able to get involved with. We just were covering New York City Fleet Week. And we're able to work with the Navy on the Parade of Ships coming in. And then also the sailors and Marines who came up to White Plains for the Memorial Day Parade from the USS Arlington, and Marines from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. They really enjoyed being able to get out into a local community and be recognized by the people, and they really enjoyed that. So we get around the Army birthday events coming up. I got to check on that. Should be this week in New York City. Usually have an event in Times Square. And you did mention we went to the White House this May 1st with the Army football team, which was really special, recognized by President Trump in the Rose Garden. And we got a chance to say hello to some of the professional news reporters there on press row as you go into the White House, and got to experience what the Rose Garden is like. And what's amazing is the view of going down towards the Washington Monument, because you're looking over the South Lawn. And you never see that view from the picture you always see is from outside the gates looking at the White House. We took a picture of what it looks like if you're at the White House, it's right at your back, what it looks like to look down the Eclipse, the South Lawn, towards the Washington Monument. It's just a spectacular moment. We also got a chance to go over to the Pentagon where they had a pep rally for the Army football team. And what a thrill that was for Coach Jeff Munkin and Superintendent, just retired, and all the officials from the Army said hello again. General Milley enjoys all those events. So we have a great time and just get a chance to tell the story of some amazing folks.
You know, and we certainly share similar passions in that, you know, trying to share stories. But, man, I'm almost out of breath listening to all the places, all the things. You guys really do a great job, you especially, at covering all this stuff. When did, you know, that's begin for you? You know, when obviously you and I have spoken, so I know you know you have a long line of family military history, but you know, did you always see yourself covering this kind of stuff?
Well, no, I did some broadcasting in college, a little bit like you did at Providence. We covered Providence hockey primarily, and I didn't do anything with broadcasting for about 25 years. And then I got my dad involved with the American Legion down in Pelham. They were very good to him, and I was helping out a little bit. So one day I sent a press release about the Memorial Day plans to some of the local media outlets, and WVOX actually called and asked Bob Marone and asked if I would call in, tell us about the plans. And then he said, call back after and tell us how it went. And then he called me for Flag Day. And he said, can you explain Flag Day, flag protocol? And I admit I had to go check a few things to make sure I had exactly the right specifics. But then Bob and I have been working on segments, and I've been doing a show for them for about getting close to 10 years this fall.
Wow, and certainly Bob Marone is someone that we know well on this program. He's done many programs for Westchester Talk Radio. Let's talk about your radio show, though. You know, where can people listen to it, and what's it all about?
We're on WVOX 1460 and WVOX.com every Monday at 2:30 for half an hour. And we tend to talk about some of the current events involving the military and veterans. And then we have usually have one special guest each week. And we've been focusing a little bit lately on the North Korean situation. We had General Guy Swan from the Association of the U.S. Army to talk a little bit about that. And then we've been talking about the new Mission Act that Congress just approved before Memorial Day, and then the President signed on Thursday, I believe it was, that really replaces and succeeds the CHOICE Act, which will allow veterans to go out to private health care in addition to the Department of Veterans Affairs. There are significant benefits in it for caregivers, those especially spouses taking care of a veteran who has special needs, and then also just making the system work better. So it was a product of bipartisan effort, product of numerous veterans organizations, including the American Legion, providing input and analysis to what would be the best outcome. And so really is a way legislation should happen. And so glad to see it approved. About $50 billion added over several years to taking care of veterans. So that's been a couple of our key topics. And talked a little bit about Army baseball. They were in the NCAA tournament, and they won their first game in the tournament. They beat NC State 5-1 last Friday night. Then Saturday, they ran into a pitcher named Chris Wise on Auburn, who threw a one-run game at them, and they won 11-1. But Casey Wise was the number one pick overall in the Major League Amateur Draft on Monday. picked up by the Detroit Tigers. So it it was interesting. And then there was a nice photo of West Point issue that the team got back on Tuesday, I think it was, and they were already back doing their summer military training. As soon as they got back, they switched uniforms and they put their camouflage on and all their equipment, and they were back out doing their military training. That was for the Army baseball team.
Maybe you could talk about that, because I think, you know, you do certainly come from a very unique standpoint in that, you know, you see the student athlete, but this is more of than just that, because these are, above all, military people. And they not only do they have to juggle the responsibilities of classes and training for sports, but on top of all of that, they have their military duties. I think sometimes people at home don't really get the full picture of that, but you're always there. You get to talk to these students. What would you tell the people at home to really give them a sense of how much work these kids put in?
Well, the coaching staff is always worried that they get enough sleep. That's their biggest concern. They are all phenomenal folks. And, you know, I interview two Army football players usually each week, and I always ask them what they're studying. The most frequent major on the football team is systems engineering. And a few liberal arts majors. They're chemical engineering majors. One of the linebackers, who's an academic All-American, Ken Brinson's chemical engineering. And then there were two physics majors on the team this year, the place kicker, Blake Wilson, and then Brett Toth, who was the right tackle. He's the guy who blew out the linebacker on San Diego State, enabling Army to score the two-point conversion to win the bowl game. And he was an NFL draft prospect. He was a physics major and branch Corps of Engineers. The thought is that he's going to serve a couple of years and then have another shot at the NFL.
That's just absolutely incredible. And again, you know, it is you do such a good job at giving people an inside look at what these guys really are all about, because I think it is fascinating. Ken, where can people follow all of your work? I know you all so much of the stuff you've done. You've got a ton of videos. Not only do you cover Army football and Army, all their other sports, you cover Iona basketball. You're all over the place. Where can people go to find your work?
Well, we've got Facebook pages. West Point Football Report is our biggest. We had about 2 million page views on that last year. And then we have Iona College Basketball Report, and then Sons of the American Legion Radio, where we tend to cover a lot of our Army material. And then on Twitter, we're at Sons Legion Radio, and also put some material on LinkedIn. We love bragging about some of the students. I think we put your video up on LinkedIn one day.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of things, but Twitter at Sons Legion Radio, and then kind of our flagship is West Point Football Report. Boy, only about 45 days to opening of full training camp.
Can't wait, and I'm sure you're going to be excited for it too. Ken, it was a pleasure. I'm really glad, you know, you and I have been talking a lot behind the scenes. Really glad we were able to finally get you out here, and you know, you're always welcome on the program, so thank you for making some time for us today.
No, you're doing a great job telling the story of veterans, the active military, and look forward to working with you more closely.
Thank you. Same as with me, Ken. Everyone, you are listening to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. Thank you for another wonderful program. As always, a big thank you to our sponsor, Scarsdale Ford, everyone else. And we couldn't do without our wonderful veterans and all the awesome stories that they shared with us today. Everyone, I'm Joe Arcino. You are listening to This Is Why We Stand. I will see you next time.
Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.